Everything that Jesus has ever said and is registered in His Word, everything that Jesus has ever done and is registered in His Word, everything that Jesus has ever thought and has been registered in His Word, every move of the Lord Jesus Christ who has ever registered in this Word, according to His own interpretation and vision in John 17, He said it had to do with the glory of His Father. He said, I have glorified you on earth, John 17. I have finished your work. It has to do with the glory of the Father. And He said, I finished your work, which was, I manifested your word to those that you have given me. And they believed me. And He says also, I pray not only for them, but also for those who believe through their words. Then this moment, I would like to call your attention to the ministry of Christ. Because everything that Jesus ever did, ever thought, ever said, every move has to do with the glory of the Father, the edification of His people, and the salvation of the lost. Therefore, any move that you find, if you find Jesus by the beach, He's not jogging. He's saving and recruiting people. And tonight, I would like to challenge, that's my prayer, that the Holy Spirit will bring us to a more intimate relationship with the Son by prayer, by meditation of His Word, and by obedience in such a way that wherever we are right now or wherever we will be, we are not going to waste our geography. And let me tell you the reason why. Because according to the Scriptures, and I'm going to show you very quickly, every place of every single human being who has ever lived after the fall, has ever lived today, and will ever be living till the coming of Christ is related to redemptive history. You cannot disassociate your geography from redemptive history. God put that way. All the places in the Bible, open this invincible word in Matthew chapter 4. And I'm just going to read verse 12 to 17. So that we may look at Jesus, the beginning of His public ministry. Matthew 4, 12 to 17. I'm using the New King James. Now when Jesus heard that John, means the Baptist, John the Baptist, had been put in prison, He departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, He came and dwelt in Capernaum. Pay attention to the geographical locations mentioned. And leaving Nazareth, He came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I would just like to consider a few questions here for our meditation sharing tonight to encourage you. When I was meditating upon this passage, three questions came immediately to my mind. One was, why did Jesus leave Nazareth and came to dwell in Capernaum? Now, if you read the text carefully, you're going to see that there is one clear reason here, is in verse 12. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, He departed to Galilee. And you can answer me, Of course, why did Jesus leave Nazareth? Because John the Baptist was preaching him, was put in prison. And let me tell you something. This is a correct answer, but it's not complete. When you see from this immediate circumstance, physical reason that moved Jesus to leave Nazareth to come to Capernaum, of course it was because John was put in prison. But Matthew gives you another reason, which is the complete reason. You cannot see it just from the perspective of the what is immediate, just what is causing it. The moment you begin to see from the divine, redemptive, eternal reason perspective, from the sovereign, redemptive purpose of God, then you're going to see the complete answer, because the complete answer is in verse 14. It says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Why did Jesus really depart to Galilee, to the region of Zebulun? Because it was written 700 years before. The Bible says that the Father was sovereignly guiding and moving His Son geographically. You begin to understand in the Scriptures that you may have a reason for anything that happens to you immediately. And you may have a correct reason, a correct answer. But till when you do not consider it from the perspective of redemptive history, you may have a correct answer, but it will be incomplete. And let me give you just one example. Remember Joseph? Joseph was sold as a slave into Egypt by his evil brothers. And after approximately 29 years later, when he was already a prince in Egypt, for the second time his brothers came with Benjamin, his brother. And he manifests himself to them in Genesis 45. You don't need to go there. But it was a very emotional. When you read the Bible, please read in slow motion. Feeling it, seeing it. When Joseph was named and known as Zaphnath-Paaneah, that's why his brothers would never recognize him. 29 years later, his name was another name, and he was dressing like an Egyptian, and not only that, but he was speaking to them many times through a translator. That's good to be bilingual. But when he manifests himself to his brothers in Genesis 45, you have these words. He said to them, verse 3, after a loud cry, it was a very emotional moment. And he said, I am Joseph, verse 3. Does my father still live? But his brother could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to them, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Why was he in Egypt? Because these evil brothers, but bad brothers, sold him in Egypt. This is a correct answer, but keep reading, Joseph. Verse 5, but now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. That's to see the life from redemptive perspective. And I can understand why Joseph could be a blessing in Potiphar's house, in prison, and in the palace. As a matter of fact, not only I know for sure he was with redemptive history in his mind here, because in verse 5 he says, now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before to preserve life. Not only to preserve life, but in verse 7 he says, and God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth. He was thinking, doubtless he knew about the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham. He knew about the covenant made with Abraham in Genesis 15, that his people become a great nation somewhere else. He's thinking here about the theology of posterity, not the prosperity of the seed of the woman, of the seed of Abraham. And he could see now complete. And by the way, even a psalm in the Bible that talks about Joseph in that sense, when he calls, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, make known his deeds among the peoples," and says, "Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them. Joseph was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid on irons until the time." My brothers and sisters, wherever you are, I know that you have a reason even to be here. But my challenge tonight is to call you, senders and goers, to consider wherever you are, not only from the perspective of the human or the immediate perspective, but from redemptive perspective. What in the world? I am here. What in the world does it have to do with God's glory, God's people, and the salvation of the lost? And I'm saying that because when you ask another question, what for then Jesus went to dwell in Capernaum? The answer comes in verse 15, 16 on the prophecy of Isaiah. "So that the people who sat in darkness could see a great light, and upon those who sat in the region of shadow of death, light has dawned," you know, so that people could be saved. My prayer is that may the Holy Spirit use each one of us wherever we are with passion for the Lord Jesus, without wasting the place where He has put us right now, and He will be putting us, because everything is related to redemption. I know that because Paul says not only the history of Joseph and Moses and Abraham and Jesus and the apostles, but our lives in Acts 17, speaking to the Epicureans, to Gentiles, Paul says, "He," about God, "has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord." Our geography, all our moves, wherever you are, has to do with redemptive history. Don't waste your geography. Every morning, my wife and I, we pray, "Lord, today, wherever we are, would you please open a door so that we can tell people about the Lord Jesus, and if we find someone who's already believing, that we may encourage them." And it amazes me that every day the Lord shows someone wherever I am. Because Paul says, "For in Him we live and move." And he's not talking about choreography here. He's talking about journey, migration. Don't waste your geography. But what did Jesus do in these places? Let me just finish, because what Jesus did was this. Verse 17, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Jesus didn't waste his geography. Wherever he was, he was preaching himself. When he says, "Repent," means you are sinners. Says, "The kingdom of heaven come." He's, "The king is here. The one whose government will be upon his shoulder is here. Repent so that you may receive forgiveness of your sins, royal forgiveness, and be in his kingdom." I hope and pray that every single day you don't waste your time and your geography with banalities. Let me give you two examples and I'm out of here. I was telling them, I'm a Brazilian. People are not very much encouraged with the Brazilians, but anyway. I like soccer, the real football, the one that you use the foot all the time. And the ball is round. I don't cheer for any team in Brazil, just the national team. And when it's playing well, when it's not playing well, I cheer for Germany. But I don't have the guts to stand for 30 minutes talking about soccer. Because I know that my Jesus, anytime he's talking with about any subject, just a fraction of a second, he goes for salvation, the gospel. I tell the people there, I say, you know, if Jesus was here among us Brazilians and we begin to talk about soccer, it would not take 1 minute. Jesus would say, very nice, but let me ask a question. Which team are we in, mine or the devil? I pray every single day with my wife not to waste my geography, whatever I am. Every single day. I was in a restaurant, Chinese restaurant, the dinner, business dinner, finished. And this Chinese girl was there. And I went and talked with her. I said, how long have you been here? In Jackson, Mississippi, in the Chinese restaurant, she said, serving, she said, about 3 months, with a very broken English. And I said, do you have a Bible? And she looked at me and said, sir, what is a Bible? And she was not joking with me. I think she thought it would be a kind of a fish somewhere. I said, the Bible is a book. And I pray, Holy Spirit, may lead her to ask the question, a book about what? He said, a book about what? And then I began to share the gospel with her. The following day, my wife brought a Bible, Chinese and English. And I had a former student of mine who had a Chinese church in town. And immediately, I told her about that church. I hope and pray that wherever you are, don't waste your geography. That will be so passionate for the glory of God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the salvation of people that you know. That you don't want to waste your geography, even when you are anywhere in a plane. Just one story. I have 30 seconds. Every time I got a plane with my wife, we purposely, you don't need to be like this, but that's me. We purposely got our Bibles, one because I want to read in the plane, and the real Bible, not the iPhone. Nobody knows what you're doing with your iPhone in the plane. I opened the Bible, my wife too, and we began to read and meditate and pray. Oh, Lord, would you please move somebody around us to see what we're doing? In one of those overnight trips, I was with the Bible opened. And after dinner, the stewardess came and said, passed by me and said, please pray for me. I said, come back. She came back. And I said, why should I pray for you? I said, pray for me. I'm not. It's not going well in this flight. I said, is it a problem with the plane? Because the problem with the plane, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to call these people and say, hey, I got bad news and good news for you. No, I have a problem here with the relationship with this, the chief of the crew. And I said, I'm going to read a verse for you. And I got the Bible. She was by us. Everybody was sleeping already. And then I read to her, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of the fool pours forth foolishness. I said, oh, that's a good word. That's what I'm going to use. I said, wait a minute. I'm talking about the Word of God. This is not positive thinking. This is written for those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in God's Word and going to do it because God says so. Do you know Jesus? Please don't waste your geography ever from now on, wherever you are or wherever you'll be, because your geography has to do and has been designed and pre-appointed according to redemptive history. And if you may say to me, like a student once told me, Dr. Medeiros, you do that everywhere you go because people like your accent. You know what I told him? Change yours.